I've entitled it Get Wisdom and Understanding because we know that the book of Proverbs particularly deals a lot with wisdom and understanding and the great value that it is to us as followers of the Lord. And even Paul's prayers, a lot of times in the New Covenant with the Ephesians, his prayer and the Colossian believers, he prayed for the body of Christ that we would have wisdom and knowledge and understanding and discernment, things like that, so that we don't have to look out the windows and make a radical judgment about stuff without running it by the Holy Spirit to give us insights for the times we're living in and direction and purpose. We need wisdom now, not to do foolish things, not to be careless with our faith, but to realistically apply it to the measure that you know to do and walk it out. So wisdom and understanding is important. And this is a long portion of Scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 19 through 26. And today I brought it in the NIV, and I also brought the Passion Translation. If any of you, I know Lorraine, you have the Passion Translation, because there's some wonderful footnotes that I want to bring out that they brought out in this portion of Scripture. So I made a copy of this for myself so I can read some of those footnotes to you. But I want to read the NIV first, and you guys can follow along with what you have. This is pretty close. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. And notice it's plural. That's very interesting. I just noticed that too, and all the times I've read it, I noticed it's plural, like there's more than one heaven. But it's the heavenlies, the stars, the solar systems, all of the galaxies. Those are all heavens or heavenlies, if you will. By his knowledge, the watery depths were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. And it's referring to creation. You can go back to Genesis 1, and you can read down through what he's talking about. My son, or daughter, or my child, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. When God tells me not to let something out of my sight, I get the idea that he's really encouraging me to pursue these things and to make sure that they're always before me because he's made them available to us. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. That's really good because we won't have sound judgment if it's based in our own understanding, but when we have wisdom and direction from the Lord and the Holy Spirit that gives us these things, we don't judge people, but we're called to use judgment in a lot of respects, and a lot of it has to do with our behavior, our personal walk. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. And when I come back, Lorraine, I'm going to ask you to read the footnote. Did you have the footnotes?
I don't have the
book. Oh, okay. All right. About the neck. There's something interesting in the footnotes about the neck. Because I questioned this as I was reading it from the King James. I got this far, and I started seeing words that didn't really make sense. I kept meditating and thinking about it, and all the things that I thought about, I still didn't feel like I had enough of understanding about that to talk about it. An ornament to grace your neck, then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared. This sounds like bits of Psalm 91, you know, where the Spirit is moving upon the heart of the writer, because the Word of God is inspired by the Spirit, that God doesn't want us confused. And I know I've brought just a part of that, about when you go to bed at night. Believers don't need to go to bed in fear and worry about what tomorrow is going to bring, because to the Christian, we'll always have a tomorrow. The world is not so sure. But to us, there'll always be a tomorrow, no matter where we spend it, here or eternity. We have that blessed hope, and we always know there's a tomorrow. And so I love Mondays because, like Karen Carpenter's song, rainy days and Mondays always bring me down. Oh, no, not me. I want the rain of the Spirit to come down on me. I want it today, so that when Monday comes and they're all having a pity party of how bad Mondays are, I can just go around and rejoice and keep my foolish grin on my face to make somebody want to punch me because they don't like it. You know, I revel in that, because when I feed myself with what you guys have got together and all of us together, man, this is a feast. And when Monday comes, we should be the most joyful people on the whole planet, because look at what we had for breakfast today. And man, when Monday comes, we are ready for Monday and all of its challenges. So I never look at that song or Monday ever from that perspective ever again. When I did, my BC days, I used to wake up and say, oh God, what crap's going to happen today? I had such a bad attitude. And Mondays are really bad, because that meant I had to go to work. You know? You see, even God changes our attitudes. He changes our motives. Everything changes when we get saved. And so when I read the psalm, or this proverb, I never questioned whether there was a million years of gap between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. Those are for theologians to discuss. All I know, and even the Big Bang Theory, I have no problem with that. God said it and bang, there it was. I'm happy with that. I'm good with that. I don't care what it sounded like. I weren't there to hear it, but I'm a fruit of it, and I'm glad he did it. And you know, but that's Rick. I don't have to know everything. In my earthly knowledge, it's quite limited. But when I read the Word, when I got saved, I just had an instantaneous, like, I knew that God, this is God's Word to us. It's like if He was here in the room, sitting beside any one of you in the chair, and He was speaking these words, and somebody was writing them down as He spoke them. He had great stenographers, or whatever you call people that do that. They write down as you're speaking. These are the notes. I was the keynote speaker yesterday at those meetings, and I was introduced to somebody, and the first thing I said was, well, I got my keys, but I think I lost my notes. And, you know, sometimes things happen very spontaneously, and I go off script. Because I believe in the spontaneity of the Spirit. There's a lot more things that He wants to say than what I'm capable of even speaking or even understanding. And that's where you come in. You see, you have a portion of this. You've already started. It's already started. So when I can down through this again about creation, this, I have to insert this. It's something that might not mean as much to you as it did to me at the time, but years back in Bellas Falls, long before I got saved, I played in several rock bands. How many of you have ever seen Animal on the drums in the Muppets? That was me. Stand up on top of them and pound them until my brains were falling on the floor. And it was cool. We used to play Charlene, where you live. That used to be the National Guard Armory. We used to play in that armory. And the wilder, the crazier. They had a makeshift stage that they put up out of stuff. And I fell through it, my drums, everything like in a hole. I didn't realize it was God showing me I was headed for a pit. You know, everything else stayed on the stage. All the amplifiers but me and the drums fell through, because we were making so much noise and ruckus that the thing fell apart and I went right down through the middle of it.
It's not exaggerating. I'm a
witness. Oh, I don't need a rooting party. but give me a witness. He did. But I played in a band called Holy Ghost. And I said, Caspar, I know, but Holly, who are you? And years later, I come to read Paul's account of the man who dealt with the demons. He said, Paul, I know, and Jesus, I know, but who are you? And that was me all those years ago, playing in that band and all that music to the devil. But I found it was so cool. God knew what he was getting when he paid the price for me. And I've never forgotten that. No matter what you did in your life, you're never going to catch God off guard. He's not going to look at the cookie cutters. Oh, my God. Might have made a mistake with that one. You know. But he chose us from before the foundation of the world. Even before this is describing creation, God knew you. And yet, all of this time that went by from creation and down through Adam and Eve and down through all of mankind, all this time, God knew you. And he had a place in the Lamb's Book of Life for you. That's powerful. For you. Your name's there. Aren't you glad? Oh, man. I am too. Never wanted some of the musicians I played with got saved. Rick, we got a new band. Come and play with us. And I said, no, you guys are crazy. I'm not going in there and playing all that Jesus stuff. And yet, I don't know if you ever feel like you could insert yourself into certain portions of Scripture and say, God's read my mail thousands of years ago. And here I stand before you. And I'm reading these things. And these things are coming out of my mouth that I didn't even plan to say. But when I read stuff like this, the promises that he made. Look at it a little closer. About even after creation. Don't let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Oh, I guard those things. Those are really meaningful to me because a lot of times I have to make decisions. I have to rightly judge a situation before I can make a decision what to do about it. You all have to do that in your lives, your family, your finances, all of your dealings. These are so important to us, and I just can't emphasize enough how richly God has provided. You know, Jim, you talked about God being our provider. The things that he provides that are so easy for us to take for granted. And then all of a sudden you're confronted with these words in your face. And I just came out of this rally for the men. I didn't even have an opening scripture last night. I came back and I was like Aaron. I didn't even know what to say about this thing that we had just attended and were a part of. And now here I am. I was up late last night and I said, Lord, we're not going to have an opening scripture if you don't give me one. I'm not one of these, well, I'll just flop it open. No. Boom, there's the scripture. I don't do that. I don't want to play those kind of games. If I don't have something fresh for you, I'm going to stay home. Where's Rick? Oh, he didn't have an opening scripture. I'll send somebody in my place. Maybe you'll have it. I take this very serious because it sets in the spiritual realm, it brings everything into an alignment for the period of time that we have together, and oftentimes for the rest of the day. That's why it's so important. And all these years, I thought, wow, it won't take me very long to go through all that I know, and I, you know, come prepared every week, and God always gives us something fresh for that day, and I so appreciate that. I don't like stale bread. I eat it before it gets stale. That's a clue. Eat this before it gets stale. Of course, the word doesn't. And so then I look at this one. Discretion. One of the things, and I just want to be level with you guys, because you're a part of this. What God has done here, you're a big part of this. Discretion is a wonderful thing. It means that we're free to choose, if you will, the manner in which we come together, that we conduct ourselves, our sensitivity to the Spirit, ignoring the Spirit, just wanting to do our own thing. None of us come here with that attitude. That is a wonderful work of the Spirit. And discretion also means there are times when it's okay to let something slide. You know, we're instructed in the Scriptures to learn to follow after the Spirit. Well, what about the body when it comes together? Do you think that God is going to exclude a corporate worship and just ignore maybe the purpose or intent that we're here to follow after the Spirit together as a body? We have to make an environment to allow teachable moments, to appreciate. But also, we may miss it from time to time. There's times, even during worship, and I'll be just, we're all playing instruments and we're all singing. And all of a sudden, I just know that I'm not to do something, and to do something in its place. And so many times, you may have had that feeling too. I don't want to talk about feeling in our flesh. It's probably not a right word. An unction to function. Can we use that? Is that better? Okay, because you know what I mean. When the Spirit stirs you in your inner man to say something or to do something, know that there's freedom to do that. And I just get up from the drums and come over here. Well, Kenny comes up and he starts playing music because he thinks I'm going to pray for somebody, because we usually do that. But sometimes we don't. We pray spontaneously. And sometimes I wonder if we miss something in that kind of thing. But when I see this discretion, it's okay if we don't always do everything right and all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. Our intent is right. Our motive is right. Because there's peace. You can always tell in your life, if you've made a good choice, you'll have peace about it. If not, you know how the Spirit troubles your water a little bit. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. They will be life for you. Think about life. This is going to be a day scripture, I think. Life. Think about your life on three aspects. There's our physical life. There's our spiritual life. And there's eternal life. These things that the Lord has provided through the indwelling Holy Spirit have provided for our eternity. They're not just for today. The natural life, as long as we live in these earth suits, you know there's always going to be a battle with the flesh. But the spirit man has given us the ability to tell the flesh, cool it. We're not doing that. I like to talk about each time I fast, because it's relevant. Learning to keep feelings in their proper place. God gave us feelings. But when I fast and I start getting hungry until my body gets used to not eating for a few days, and I start feeling hungry and my stomach starts complaining. See, you didn't get anything to eat today yet. And it's not going to until I decide when it's going to get fed. So I just tell it to shut up. You can bawl and squall all you want. You're not getting squat until I tell you what you're going to have. And you're not going to get what you want. You're going to get what I choose to give you. So shut up. Like Tom says, shut up. You know, you learn to speak to stuff and things happen. And it's really cool when you start with something that you can all relate to and then build your faith on that. Oh, it's remarkable how true these words are. They will be life and an ornament to grace your neck. One translation says they will be like a beautiful pearl necklace displayed for all to see that you're a person of wisdom and discretion and honor and integrity and holiness and righteousness. This is what these words really mean when you expound on them and you see the beauty, because the neck is the only thing you see above the shirt collar and then the head. But the neck is exposed first. And also, What does that say in the footnote, Charlene, about the neck? Because this is really interesting.
What verse is this?
22, an ornament to grace your neck. There's a footnote in the bottom in the notes in the Passion about the neck. I wrote it if you can't find it. Did you find the footnote? Okay. It's footnote D, the letter D. Okay. It says adorn your neck or adorn your neck, and then it says the neck is a picture of our will and our conscience. So that's why words are important. You know, think about what did the Lord call the Israelites? Stiff-necked. You see, neck makes a difference. If one is resistant to the Spirit, you could use that word stiff-necked. If one is receiving the things of the Spirit, our necks aren't stiff. We're not bristling. We're not in resistance. We're yielding. So I thought that was very interesting. And the other one had to do with the dew. Yes. Oh, good.
It says, or adorn your neck.
Yes.
The neck is a picture of our will and conscience.
That's right. Yep. And the other one had to do with the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. You know, when it talks about the rain or the dew coming down upon us. We read that in the beginning. The reference there was, okay, that was in verse 20, bringing secret springs to the surface as the mist of the night dripped down from heaven. That's a reference to the Spirit of God descending upon us. And so these things have meaning, and you take those and apply them in your life, and you can always see that wherever we go, we are graced and blessed with the Spirit of God pouring upon us and ministering to us all the time, even if we're not even aware of it. It happens because He's omnipresent. Let's see. And then that's why when you go to bed at night, all of these things have already been put in place. You see, all God made a lot of preparation for His people when it's time for rest, when it's time for sleep. All of these things He put in place because He cares about you. You know, and whatever you do for work or your families, all these things He cares about. But He also cares about a time of rest and a time of sleep. And He put these things there so that when it's bedtime, you won't lay there and toss and turn and worry and be fretful and be afraid. And you know that you can go to sleep straight away and sleep in peace and wake up refreshed in the morning. That's His will for your life, because look at all the preparation He's put in place for that to happen. Did you ever see stuff like this in such a short portion of Scripture? It's phenomenal. When you know, you'd say, well, why don't we just do that for a Bible study? Well, what other books do we study? I don't want to study a book about the book. I want to study the book. I want to get it firsthand. I don't want no gossip. I want to get it firsthand. And what I have, I want to come and bring it as a gift to you. If I've seen something that you didn't see, then take it as a gift. If nothing I said you saw that already, then praise be to you. You could feed me. But every time I uncover something that I think is worth bringing, I really want to share it with you, because you're my beloveds and you can benefit by this too. So when you go to bed tonight, may the Holy Spirit bring these things to your remembrance. And how thankful that you woke up refreshed tomorrow. Wow. That's just for openers.